This evening I want to open up in the book of Colossians. I want to start reading out of that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to start with Colossians chapter 2. And I know it's kind of a hard book to find. It isn't a very big book. It's right after Philippians, Colossians. So you'll find it when you can get there to it. I want to read Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 6 and 7. Okay, it says in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And then I'm just going to do 9 and 10 also. And it says in verse 9, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Then if you will go over into chapter 3, I want to read a couple verses out of chapter 3. If you have time, we'll do the first 4 verses. And it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Praise the Lord. This evening, I want to talk about that Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. We read in our scripture tonight that in him we are alive. He has caused us to be alive in him. And I've thought, with everything that's been going on, and we've been kind of in a transition time from one thing to another. It's like time and circumstances are just going round and around. And it's like, I don't know if we can catch up, but in the Lord, we will catch up with the changes that are coming. Not only in our natural world, we see many, many things that are changing. And if we're not careful, we begin to focus on all the changes, upon everything that is going on in the world, in the government, in all the storms and the the circumstances. I'll get it straight. There's so many things that we hear and we see and we think, well, it's like our head begins to swim and we begin to focus. And the first thing I realize, I begin to say, "But God, where are you?" I know where he is, but I begin to question him. "Do you know what's happening?" Of course he does. We know that, but yet our body and our minds begin to focus on what is not right or what we think is all messed up. But I want to tell you, in Jesus Christ, we are made alive in him, and our focus should be on him, on what he says, upon his word, upon who he is in us. And so I think that as I begin to teach the lesson this evening, I want to talk about that he is everything. I want to make a statement that I read one time. It says, "When you have Christ, you have everything. When you don't have Christ, you don't have anything." And I thought, as I read that, I thought, oh, I like that, because that is truth. Right down, straight out, the truth. With him, we have everything that we need. All we have to do is believe him and ask him. And sometimes we don't even have to ask him for what he needs. This summer, we had a really bad drought where we live. I don't know if Oakland had it as much as we did, but where we live, we didn't get hardly any rain. Well, it was like late spring. We have a little old cherry tree. It's up in where the chickens are, in the pen outside. And it has never, ever done anything. It's pitiful looking. And we've talked about cutting it down I don't know how many times. Oh, what is it? A peach. You're right. I called it a cherry tree because it had pretty bloom. And I said, well, it has to be a cherry tree. And well, lo and behold, this summer, David came in one morning and he said, look out there, look at my tree. I said, where? He said, up at the chicken house, and it was the biggest, ripest peaches that I have ever seen. I had bought peaches earlier in the summer, and they could not compare with what God blessed us with. We hadn't even asked him for peaches. But God said, well, I'm going to send you some peaches in the middle of a drought. And I don't know how many bushel, and they were giant peaches. And I thought, well, Lord, if you can make a peach tree grow and bloom and have the beautiful peaches, you can do anything. Well, this fall, we were out in the yard, and David said, have you checked out on the grape harbor? And I said, no. Every year, there's just little old tiny grapes that aren't worth eating. Well, lo and behold, this year, we had bushels of grapes that came, the sweetest that we'd ever had. And I'm not exaggerating, am I, David? No, I mean, it's the gospel truth. And I can tell you, that was the blessings of God. When we were going through a drought, we thought, well, will we even have anything to put up for winter, to can and to freeze and to give away? God says, I'll fill up your freezer. I'll fill the jars. I'll meet your need. Whatever it is you have, I will meet the need. Our cows have not gone without hay all winter. David was all worried and frustrated. We're not going to have enough. We're not going to have enough. We're still feeding hay. I don't know where all it's coming from, but we've got hay. Glory to God. And that is God. And why would we, as his disciples, as his sons and daughters, why would we question him when things aren't as we suppose they should be? When things are changing, don't look at all the circumstances. Don't get caught up and get our eyes upon everything that's not going right. But look to the one who supplies our every need. Look to the one who provides. Yes, we are to ask him, but sometimes he says, I want to bless you, even if you don't have sense enough to ask for it. I'm still going to bless you. So praise the Lord. I want to read out of, or to talk a little bit this evening out of the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was named for the city of Colossae. It's in the modern-day Turkey today. It's where this church was. Paul was the author of this letter or this epistle or book. But he was not the pastor. He was not the founder of this church. In fact, Paul was in prison when he wrote this book. And he also wrote the book of Ephesians, which Cindy has been teaching on. The book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. All within this time that he was in prison. Yet, I thought he had his eyes right upon the Lord. He had his heart focused. Even though, who wants to be in prison? Nobody wants to be there. And yet, Paul got his heart right. And he began to write sacred words, words that the Holy Spirit was given him. So as we go on in and we talk about the Apostle Paul and about this church in Colossae, and it is Colossians, the book, in this city, they had mainly Gentile people, and also there was a large Jewish crowd that was there, a large Jewish settlement. And in this church that was young, there was a lot of asceticism. There was, which they worship angels and they worship all kinds of stuff. There was Gnosticism, and that is they do the angels and they deny that Jesus Christ is part of the deity. All of this and the mixture of religions sounds like America, doesn't it? Where there's all kind of mixtures. So many people say, I don't know what to believe anymore. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. Keep our eyes on him and read and pray and talk to him. And he will speak back to you, whether it's through a song, and it's always through his word. We can read something, and we've read the Bible, you know, many, many times. And yet, this winter, as we've been reading with the Church of God's daily reading, at first I thought, well, I got other stuff to read. And then I thought, no, I don't. I do have other stuff, but I am staying with the program. And it's been such a blessing. We've been in the old and the new and just here and there through the word. But it's as I read it, I begin to focus more on his word and it begins to speak to my heart. So I encourage you, if you are reading with this section of reading, keep on. Finish well. If you're not reading that part, if you're in another place, read that. But read God's word. Read it and digest it. It's been wonderful. And when we were down at our church, down at Jennings, when I would teach, I would go and search out the scriptures for a subject or a book or something. But I didn't get to breeze through the whole word. And it's like this winter, even though we were sick and down, we still had time to read, which was a blessing. And I thought, it's so wonderful to sit at the Lord's feet and just eat, just digest his word. I didn't have to do anything special. I just read it and I took it in and it just began to grow inside of me. And I've read it before, but it's real. And it's, I believe the more time that we sit at his feet and digest his word, it becomes more real than ever before. And I appreciate that in the word of God, that it is living and it is powerful. But I want to say that even though things seem to get all messed up, things get out of control in this world, as you know, we're sojourners and we're pilgrims. This world is not our home. We forget that. We lose our focus. Yes, we're here. We were born in America, most of us, I think. We were born here, and it's our country. But I want to tell you, we're going to leave here. We have another country that we are going to, a place where it is perfect. No more ups and downs and money troubles and politics and this and that. But I want to tell you, we have to keep on living for Jesus Christ, believing in him, or we're going to get swept away with the doctrines of today. We must know who Jesus Christ is, or we will lose our place in him, and our eyes will be on everything but the one true God. The we need to focus on him daily and live in him. The book, this book that was written, the Colossians, Paul actually wrote it in Rome, that he was in prison. But I want to say he had a letter for these churches in the New Testament, and they were sent as circulatory letters. They were to be sent around to different churches. To me, it's like sending somebody the word of the Lord. And that's what Paul was doing. He was in prison, but he was speaking the word of the Lord. Yes, to this church in Colossians, or the Colossian believers. And he sent it, Laodicea was next close to this. And so he said, I want them to read it too. And so he began to spread the word. He spread the gospel. Even though he was in chains or in prison, yet he spread the gospel with the words that he spoke and that which he prayed for the people. In almost all of his letters, he said, I pray for you. I pray daily for you. I lift you up in my heart. And so I believe that we need to watch and see what these mighty men of God did in our Bible and see that we can do the same. I believe the church of Jesus Christ today is limited only because of what's up here, because of our minds. We get our minds on everything else except what God is saying, what God is doing. And most of the time when he supplies our need, we don't even thank him. I believe God wants a thankful people, a people who appreciates his goodness and what he has done. God, Jesus Christ, is our sufficiency. He is everything that we have need of. We have everything when we have Jesus Christ. And I want, if you don't remember anything that I say tonight, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. He is all we need. I want to tell you, there's no end to what he does and who he is. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning, the end, the author, and the finisher. He's all things. And I thank God. He upholds all things by the power of his word. You remember back when the heavens and the earth were created and he began to speak. This was God in the Father. And he began to speak. And all he had to do is to speak the word. And it was done. The same is within Jesus Christ. I believe as we speak the word that we have before us today, as we speak that word, we can create life or death among people, among circumstances. If we speak death over our families, over our mates, over the church, over whoever, then death is what will happen. And if we speak life, the life of Jesus Christ into a circumstance, I believe that the change is there. New creations are coming forth because of the power of the Word of God. I believe that with all my heart. I think the older I get, the more I realize how powerful God's Word really is. Oh my goodness, it is more powerful than even I ever dreamed. I thank God for his word and how the more that we grow in his likeness, the more that we sup and dine on his word, ingest it, the more power that it creates in us. And we are able to speak. And that's when I believe when he said, speak to the mountain and it'll be removed. Well, I'm going to tell you, Ruth can't move any mountains in herself. But I believe that in Christ Jesus, if that word came forth out of the Spirit of God, I believe mountains are going to drop. But I want to tell you, it's not in myself. Our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. Our life is in him. We are hid in him, he says. And he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus walked among the earth. And maybe a lot of people never saw God. Well, he even hid himself over Moses because Moses wasn't even able to look upon God himself. And with Jesus, he was here on the earth and he walked among. He was the visible part of the Godhead. And I thought so many times, I know we're coming to the Easter season. And I think, oh my, I can't believe that that happened. I can't believe that God, the Father, allowed his son to go to the cross, to be mistreated. I can't believe how I couldn't do that. If anyone would say, you got to give up somebody in your family, I can't do it. In myself, there is nothing that I could do. I wouldn't have done it. But God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that we that believe on him should not perish, but that we might have eternal life. Praise be to the Father for that. What a loving God, an all-knowing God. You know why I think he could do it? Because he saw the end. He saw that that was for a short season, that Jesus had to suffer, go through the cross, the pain and the agony, the rejection. And it still breaks my heart to think that it was God's people, the Jewish people, who did this to Jesus Christ. It was the Jewish people who got jealous and for envy. They had him nailed to the cross, and he went to the tomb. But I want to tell you, he didn't stay there. And he is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he arose forevermore. There's no more dying. The scripture tells us there's no dying. There's no crying in heaven. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain. And I know when someone passes away and we miss them and we... We are sorrowful. David's oldest sister passed away a few weeks ago. And I don't know how many times, because the older that she got, I would call her more often. She'd call me, and we would talk, and sometimes an hour we would talk. And how many times recently that I've gone to the phone, and I thought, I'm going to call her, see if she's okay today. Well, I want to tell you, I don't even pick up the phone till I think she's fine. She doesn't need me to call her and check on her today. She's in a better place, a place more glorious. I can't even imagine how wonderful it is to be in God's full presence. But the scripture says that when he appears, we will be like him. And that kind of blows my mind when I think about how in the world. But I want to tell you, the Christians, our life here on earth is not perfect. We still stumble, we still falter, we still make mistakes. And I told Pastor Cindy before church this evening, something has happened in our life, and it kind of had me all tore up. Down south, they say, I'm all tore up about it. And that's how I was this week. Last week, I was just all tore up. Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. But I had to get my heart right. I was looking at all the circumstances, and I had to say, but oh God, I need you. I need my heart right. I cannot stand when my heart is wrong, if I have hurts and attitudes and wounds and questions and things. And I beseech you as God's children that you keep your heart right no matter what has happened, no matter who's hurt, who's offended, who did what to whom. Don't get your eyes on that, but get your eyes on what the Word of God says. And what would the Lord Jesus Christ do in this circumstance? And my part is, I got to get my heart right. And so I did. It wasn't always easy. Excuse me. In ministry school, they said, don't ever take a drink in front of the people, because then they'll all run out to get a drink. And I'm sorry. But anyway, thank you, Amy. But our life is hid in Jesus Christ when we allow him to pull us in and create in us his spirit, his life. And being saved is not a one-time shot. It is continually. The Christian life is perfection. I want to tell you, I have served the Lord for a long time. I still have to deal with getting my heart right. I still have to deal with being nice to my husband and not growling at him. I have to do that, because that can be a daily thing. We were both sick this winter, and I want to tell you, it was a little rough at times. Nevertheless, we have to keep our hearts right in the Lord. Then, and there is where the power of God begins to flow. And you know that we are living epistles. People look at us and they see Jesus, or they see this Christian that might be a mess. And they're going to know where you stand with the Lord. It doesn't take long, does it? Till you meet someone, or you're around them, you either know that they're on fire with the presence of God, or you're going to know they've not been to the altar for a while. You can tell it. Well, I believe that we are, as Cindy used to teach us, we are an extension of God's intention. And if God is in us, then other people will read and see that God is alive, that Jesus Christ, he didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't hang on the cross forever. That he became alive. He overcome. And that was an example for us. That we overcome. I apologize this evening. I did not realize I would struggle with my mouth, my throat. Excuse me. Oh, it isn't nice, but... And I was, as I was writing my notes, I'm so sorry about that. It's not nice to have to deal with it, but we're going on. The Lord is the only mediator between God and man. He is our physician. He's the one who heals our bodies. He is our true physician. He is the wall of fire that defends us. I want to tell you, sometimes Christians can be thrown into a fiery furnace and they don't know how they got there. But I want to tell you, there's the fourth man walking around the furnace with us. His name is Jesus Christ. He is there to protect and to keep his people. It said that when they brought out Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego, they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, I don't know how that happens except in God. He supplied whatever they had need of, even in the fire. That's our God. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who comforts us. He is better than any angels. We don't need to worship angels. They are messengers or workers of the Lord, but they're not worthy of worship. Jesus Christ was better than Moses. He came and his life was better than any of the prophets. We love the prophets in our Bible, but they were men. They were, and Deborah and the prophetesses and the different ones, they were human like us. They failed. They made mistakes. They had to get their hearts right, just like we do, to love one another. And it says that even Jesus Christ destroyed hell, death, and the grave. He's greater than Satan will ever be. And I want to tell you, we have that same spirit dwell in us if we have Jesus Christ. We can destroy the works of the enemy just as much as Jesus Christ did. It's up to us. He's stronger than death. Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb of God. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our life. He is the truth, the life, and the way. He is the root and the offspring of David, the sweet psalmist. I believe Jesus sang. They don't really record that in the Word. But since he came out of the offspring of David the psalmist, I believe Jesus probably sang. I believe he was a beautiful singer. Nevertheless, that's just Ruth's theology, but I believe Jesus did it all. He is the bright and morning star. He is the faithful and true in the book of Revelation, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's everything and in between. He's the one who saves our souls. He is the righteous servant, the humble servant. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. He's our Redeemer. The word says in John, he is the vine. He said, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is all in all, everything that we have need of. He's a wonderful counselor. He is the Lion of Judah. I want to say he is victorious. When he goes to battle for us, there is victory. When he stands there and he declares who he is and we hide ourselves in him, then there is victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is the living word. He is the rock of salvation. And I love this. This is one of my favorite, when I talk about who Jesus is and the names. I wouldn't know how many different names there are for Jesus and for who he was and who he is. But he said, I am the all-sufficient, the all-knowing, the all-powerful God. He says, there's nothing that I don't know, nothing that I can't do. The I am. I love that. He's my, that is my favorite. When he told Moses that, when Moses was gone before Pharaoh and he was afraid. And Moses said, well, who do I go? What do I say? Who sent me? And the Lord told him, he said, I am that I am. And that meant whatever you need, I am. Today, I believe that we need to be calling on the great I am more. More. Every day, call upon the I am and know that there is power and there is victory in I am. Our sufficiency, everything that we have need of is in the I am. Trust him, church. Know him. Love him and abide. Abide in him. Because if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. And if you don't, you don't have anything. So praise the Lord. As I get ready, I didn't have a long message this evening. But I just wanted to encourage you this evening that you, as a believer, since we have believed, then we are in a process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're only limited by how much we love him, how much we trust him, how much we'll reach out to him, how much we will believe him for. That's what limits us. So tonight, as we think about, just remember, Christ in me. Christ is in me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like that too, but I used to always think, well, that must be for someone else. Because I thought, well, I'm not very powerful. I'm this or that. Well, whatever that is in the natural, I'm a new creation. I am a new creation. And if you have been born again of the Spirit of God, you are to be a new creation. Yes, I was a Harvey. And yes, Joe used to say, and Mary told me one time, said, yes, the Harveys are hard-headed. Well, that's the old creation. They are hard-headed. But I want to tell you, I'm not anymore. I'm trying not to be. I am a new creation. A new creation. I'm alive in Jesus Christ because he saved me. And as I grow close to him, that little streak of this or that, and you can read in Colossians here the things he said you don't want to be doing. You don't want to be acting like that because you, since you believed, you're a new creation. And this is one of my very favorite Bible verses, and I have to go to this probably every day. And it's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I've loved that for years. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, then he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. He dwells in me. He dwells in you. As you're born again, we're not the same old girl or boy we used to be. We don't think like we used to. We don't walk like we used to. But we're new creations because our sufficiency is in God. He's our strength. He's our deliverer. And those old things we used to do, we don't do anymore. What did they used to say? That old address, it's not where I live anymore. Well, thanks be unto God for that. But I want to encourage us as believers, embrace who Jesus Christ is and live in him and love him with all of your heart.